It's a great privilege to be with you this morning. I will tell you, there's at least one person in this congregation that's a little disappointed. She was looking forward to hearing Brother Ronald preach this morning. She hears me preach on a regular basis. But I do appreciate the opportunity and do ask that you'd continue in prayer for us as we stand before you. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to look at the text that I have on my mind this morning, it's found in Acts chapter 20, and it's a text that I've been rolling around in my mind for several weeks now. Brother James and I had a conversation about it. Brother James and I worked together also, in case you didn't know, and we had a conversation about this text just a few weeks ago, and it's been sort of wandering around in my mind a little bit for a while now, and so we'd like to take it this morning as our text, if the Lord be in the matter. The situation in Acts chapter 20 at the beginning of the chapter is of Paul traveling, and he's traveling primarily by ship, which would probably be the best technology that he had to travel in the day, unless you were going to ride a some sort of beast of burden. You would travel by ship, and if you look at where he was traveling in Asia Minor right there, there was a pretty good path by ship to just sail right around the Horn of Asia Minor. And they had many of the disciples with him at the time. And that's certainly important. You know, it's very important that we have the fellowship one of another. Now, certainly we want the fellowship of the Lord more than we do anything else, but the Lord has provided us a place where we're here today where we can have the mutual faith, as Paul described it, where we can have like precious faith. We can come in and associate with people that are like-minded, that have the same desires and the same feelings about the Lord that we have. And it's a great place. It's a place of rest and a place of safety for us where we have the communion one of another, and certainly with the Lord. And it's very important. It's a command that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's something the Lord has provided for us, and it's very important that we avail ourselves of every opportunity that we have to meet together with the Lord's people. The apostle was with the Lord's people. He was with the Lord's disciples, but in this particular case, he makes a decision that seems a little bit strange. And I think if we look at it just a little bit, we'll see exactly why, or perhaps at least why, the Apostle Paul makes the decision that he makes and decides to do what he does. Verse 13, Acts chapter 20, verse 13, he says, "And we went before to ship." This is Luke writing, if I understand the scriptures correctly, and it's my understanding anyway that Luke wrote this. He says, "And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot." The apostle had decided that he would walk about 35 miles or so across over and meet the disciples after they had sailed around, that he would meet them over there. Seems a little strange to me that he would go to all the effort and the trouble of walking out there in what might be hostile country and by himself. Of course, there's no indication that anyone with him. It seems to me as though he was out there by himself, so to speak. It's evident from earlier in the chapter that he intended to get on the ship with them. And yet, at this point, he's decided to go by himself. Again, I want to stress how important it is and what a great privilege it is that God has granted us that we can meet together and that we can have the fellowship one of another. Because as you all know, if you live and work and go to school and things like that in the world's not friendly to the ideas that we hold dear. The world is not friendly to the concepts that we love so dearly in the scriptures. And it's a wonderful thing, and we need it. I know I need it, and I know you need it. I need the opportunity to come together and see that there are other people that have the same doctrines and practices that we have. And yet, I find here the apostle making a decision to go alone. You know, we spend, I don't know how often Bethel Church meets. Some churches at home meet on Wednesday night. Some meet on Sunday night as well as Sunday morning. But if you take an hour and a half in organized worship together out of a 168-hour week, it's really only, you're talking about 1%. If you meet two times a week, that's 2%. Three times a week at that same amount of time, it's about 3% of your time. We really, while it's important and we enjoy it, we love it, and we should do it, it's really organized times when we get together, they're not that big a percentage of every day that we spend or every week that we spend. So the rest of that time, where are we? Well, to some extent, we're alone. Now, there's only one that's ever truly been alone, and that's Christ. He trod the winepress alone for us, and his Father forsook him in that hour, and he was truly alone. You and I will never be truly alone. We may feel lonely sometimes, and we may be without another person's presence, but the Lord is everywhere present and nowhere absent. The Lord is always with us. I find precious times that I have been able to spend alone with the Lord. In fact, Jesus instructed us concerning some of those times. In Matthew chapter 6, he told us that when we pray, he gave us a lot of instruction in that chapter regarding prayer, but one of his instructions was that we enter into our closet, and after we've closed the door, then we pray unto our Father in secret, and our Father, which heareth in secret, shall reward us openly. That's a time when we are to spend alone with the Lord. How much time do we spend alone with the Lord? How much time do we spend approaching the throne of grace? You know, I find where Nehemiah found himself in need of a prayer very quickly. There was a time when he was, as the king's cupbearer was called, and he was found to be sad in the presence of the king, and it was a very serious thing that you, in that kingdom, you didn't really want to be taken note of. You wanted to kind of get through everything without the king really noticing you. But the king had noticed Nehemiah and his sadness, and in a very quick moment, he uttered a very quick prayer. It's very important that we understand that we're not alone, that we have a Heavenly Father who is awaiting us to approach unto Him. I'm somewhat convinced that sometimes the Lord allows us to suffer things so we'll have something to talk to Him about. You know, my children, well, I find that when they're doing well, when they're out playing and everything's going fine, they're not really engaged with me a whole lot. They're not really trying to talk to me. But let something go wrong, let them fall and scrape their knee or something like that, and they come running usually to Sister Tammy first, of course, and then if she's not around, then me. Because now they've got something to talk to me about, and the Lord sometimes allows us to suffer some things, but he also sometimes allows us to see the beauties of his providential care of us. Have you ever had that experience where perhaps you were blessed? I'm convinced a lot of times I'm oblivious to it. But from time to time, the Lord has blessed me, and I trust he has you as well, to see his providential care of us, of me, and to thank him for it and to rejoice and to stand silently in awe of God's care of such a worm as I. Well, the apostle here has decided it's time for him to spend a little time alone with the Lord. When we find a number of Bible characters spending some time alone with the Lord. I find Abraham, when the Lord came to him on the plains of Mamre with two angels, those two angels went on down to Sodom, and Abraham found himself alone with the Lord. And Abraham talked to God. He talked to the Lord. And God told him what he was going to do over there, and Abraham began to ask questions about that. Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? But you notice that Abraham approached him very respectfully. In fact, Abraham was concerned. I get the impression that he was concerned about how he had approached God. He said, I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to God. But you know, I don't find where God ever rebuked him for making his request. He spoke to him, and he asked for the very things that he felt as though he should ask for, as we should. We should ask for the things that we stand in need of. Now, we should ask not amiss, but we should ask in faith, nothing wavering. But we should ask for the things we stand in need of. And I am convinced that God always answers prayer. Always. Sometimes the answer is yes. And don't we love those times when you say, yes, Lord, you say, Lord, should I do such and such? The Lord says, yes, yes, that's a God-honoring thing. Yes, you go ahead and do that. Sometimes the Lord says, no. That's the times when I usually ask three or four times. And that's what Abraham did there. He asked three or four times, and he kept whittling the Lord down. But the Lord was intent upon destroying that city if he could not. He would have honored his word, no doubt. But Abraham asked and asked and asked and petitioned him. We find ourselves alone with the Lord. That's what we should do. We should petition him for the things that we stand in need of. And he'll answer yes, no, or sometimes not now. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not now. That's not the right time yet. We sometimes get impatient with answers like that. Find a number of Bible characters alone with the Lord. I find Elijah alone with the Lord. You remember how Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and everyone was against him. And yet he called upon God and God manifested his presence with Elijah. And yet we find Elijah a little while later under a juniper tree requesting for himself that he might die. He requested, he said, it's enough. Take my life from me. But God showed Elijah. You know, Elijah had a very interesting experience to me. I think Elijah thought that he was probably ready to face Ahab and Jezebel very quickly after he was called of God. But you know, God had some teaching to do with Elijah. And he taught him to depend only upon him. And then, and only then, could he face Ahab and Jezebel. We find Job alone with the Lord. You know, Job actually demanded his day with the Lord. You know Job's experience. Job was an upright man. That's God talking, not me. Now, when God calls a man upright, I take note. God said that Job was a good fellow. I'm going to take note of that. I know he was good because of the grace of God, but he was good nonetheless. He was a man that eschewed evil. But yet, when his three miserable comforting friends were done with him, and he had gone too far to the other extreme, I find that Job began to demand his day in court. And I find it one of the great ironies of the Bible, actually, that Job demanded his day in court. Where is he that I might approach unto him? And yet, when he got his day in court, the only thing he was able to do was put his hand over his mouth, which is probably what I would do if I were to get my day in court and just claim the righteousness of Jesus only. Sometimes when we're alone with the Lord, it's best to just listen and not to talk. In fact, I find it a humorous part of the Bible that the Lord actually asked Job, he said, gird up your loins like a man and I'll ask thee a question. And then he asked him a bunch of questions of which Job could not answer a single one. Find a lot of Bible characters alone with the Lord. And I think we can learn a lot. Jacob found himself wrestling with an angel. And Jacob at least thought he had seen the Lord. I think he was the Lord. Now, I stand to be corrected on that, but I think it was. And whatever it means, whatever it means that he prevailed against him, he just had influence with him, I think is what that's saying. But Jacob found himself alone with the Lord, and he demanded a blessing of the Lord. You know, we are commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace. We find ourselves alone with the Lord more than we find ourselves in organized worship. And we should study Scripture and try to know how we should conduct ourselves reverentially to the Lord. We should conduct ourselves as beggars in need of our Heavenly Father to bless us. When we find the Apostle Paul, does anybody remember what Paul's name was before it became Paul? It was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was not a good fellow. Saul was not a Job-like person. Saul was injurious, blasphemous. He took great pleasure in persecuting the church of God. And so much so that he would hold the clothing as they would stone Stephen to death. He was consenting unto the death of many without regard to women, children, any regard whatsoever. If they followed Christ, he wanted to hurt them and be and injure them and get them to renounce their faith in Christ. And I think Bible evidence shows that he never forgot what he had done. Now, I believe the Lord blessed him to come to terms with it and to see, certainly he saw the error of his ways. But I can only imagine. I mean, I know the guilt of my sins that I carry around. I can only imagine the guilt that Paul must have had, at least available to him, whether he engaged in it or not, having seen the faces. And now Paul went about as the apostle to the Gentiles. He went about to preach and to teach, even in many cases to those whom he had persecuted, and maybe perhaps we might even think to some of the families of those that had been killed at his direction. Well, if we look at the last event that happened before Paul minded himself to go afoot, you'll find Paul preaching the gospel. And if you think that me and Brother James and Brother Ronald are long-winded, you should have known the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in this instance, preached to midnight, but he didn't stop there. He preached to midnight until a young man fell out of the window and fell down dead, named Eutychus. Now, the Bible says he fell dead. I don't know how else to take that other than he was dead. Now, if you know another way to take that, you can have it, but I take him to have been dead. I've heard and read some commentaries that he wasn't really dead. He just got knocked out. Well, if that's the case, then God doesn't know what the definition of dead is. I think he was dead. The Bible says he was dead. Well, the Apostle Paul goes down, says his life is in him. And the Apostle Paul is blessed. Let's see. Let's just read a little of this. In verse 9, it says, "And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and taken a long and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed." Now, I've never attended one of these New Year's Eve meetings that goes to midnight. They probably won't ever get me to, because I'm not a night owl. I'm up with the turkeys, not out with the owls. But I've never heard of one that went all night, all the way till the sun was coming up in the morning. I've done that at work a few times, but I've never seen a church meeting go that far. Well, the apostle was blessed to preach and blessed to preach what looks like to me to be maybe as much as 10, 12 hours. And he talked with them for a long time and he expounded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he had met on the road to Damascus. And now I want you to consider what had Saul of Tarsus spent most of his life doing? He had spent most of his life persecuting the church, consenting unto the death of the Lord's people. And now here, God's blessed him to preach and to raise one. Now, I know God raised him, but he used Paul in raising this young man from the dead. I'll tell you what I think. Now, this is my opinion, so you qualify that accordingly. I think the Apostle Paul was probably overwhelmed at the mercy of God. I can tell you there's been many times when I've been overwhelmed that God would bless me in spite of my past, in spite of my present, and certainly in spite of my future. And the Apostle Paul needed some time to process what had happened. He needed some time alone with the Lord. So he minded himself to go afoot. Would to God that we meet for organized worship, and we are commanded to do so. And it's good for us. It's not like it's just a command and it's something, we got a drudgery. It's a good thing. And it's something we need. But for all of that time that we're outside of organized worship, may we, from time to time, just mind ourselves to go afoot, to spend a little time, to not necessarily take the easy way out of something, but spend a little time meditating with the Lord and communing with him just one-on-one. Doesn't replace Sunday morning, doesn't replace organized worship, but it's still part of our lives of necessity. May we mind ourselves to go afoot. I thank you very much for your very good attention.